1 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading verse 13 tonight. We're going to look at this text tonight, and we're titling this Receiving the Word. And next week, we'll be taking verse 14, 15, and 16, some very interesting verses. And this is our sixth message in this chapter. In verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God, without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight for thy blessings upon the reading of thy precious word. Again, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, verse 13. Last week we looked in verse 12, walking worthy of the Lord or walking worthy of God. This evening, receiving the word. And in our text, it's received as divine revelation. One of the most important verses in all the Bible. Y'all about ready to start singing a new psalm? Psalms 130. This has been on my heart. I recorded it. I gave it to my wife. I gave it to y'all. Did I never give it to you? I think I sent it when I was sick. But anyway, Psalms 130. I want to start singing that psalm. It's a beautiful psalm and got a good message to it. We'll start doing that soon. Notice in verse 13, we find here, first of all, that the Apostle Paul is thanking the church at Thessalonica, thanking them for their love for the Word of God. We would see that in chapter 1, verses 2 and in verse 3, for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. In other words, for them receiving the truth. And he says here in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, when we come to this passage here, we see, and again, if I compared chapter 1, the verses I just mentioned, we're going to turn there and read just a few verses. We find that he's thankful for their great transformation. And when we come to chapter 2 here in this passage, we find he gives the reason for their transformation, and it is the Word of God. Now, notice he speaks of receiving the Word of God. Notice in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, we have this. He said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Verse 6, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." And then in verse 7 and 8, "they became examples unto others." But notice here, they received the word of God in much affliction. And so what we find in our text is to receive the Word of God is to embrace it. It's not just to hear it, as I said this morning, and walk away from it, but it's to embrace it, coming back to chapter 2 and verse 13. It is to welcome it, to obey it, and to love it. And that's what we see here with the church at Thessalonica. And also, I read this last week. I don't know if it's Sunday night or Sunday morning, but you can write down 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through verse 15. He speaks of those who reject the truth that will be damned. And he speaks of those who have received the truth. They're the chosen and of God. And he said that God hath from the beginning chosen you, in verse 13, in the middle of that verse, to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And then he mentions being called by the gospel in verse 14, and he mentions also in verse 15 about them to hold dear the traditions which had been delivered to them. To hold something is to guard it, to cling to it, to keep it and protect it. And so they received the Word of God, not as men, but as divine revelation. Even in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, we're told to despise not prophesyings, and to despise is to reject, to scorn, or to regard as having no value, or to disobey it. So when he tells us here in this passage, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 13, that they received the Word of God, notice it was not received as the word of men. And that's an interesting statement that he makes here, because in Numbers 23:19, we find that God is not a man that he should lie. In other words, we have the words of God compared with the words of men. Men's words is always changing, and God's word is never changing. You'd find that again in 1 Samuel 15, verse 29. In other words, again, God, he speaks only the truth. And the point is, as in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, to despise not prophesying, that is the preaching and teaching of God's word. When anyone despises the apostles' doctrine that we have written down in Scripture, they're not only despising the apostles, but they're despising Christ and also God the Father. And so he clearly says that they did not receive it as the words, as the word of men. Again, men's words many times can be lies and always in transition and changing, and God's word is steady. But he says here, but you received it as in truth. In truth. In other words, apostolic truth. And keep in mind, they didn't have the completed scripture at this time. They had the Old Testament, maybe a few New Testament books, but they didn't have. So this is the oral transmission of the gospel. And again, they did not have the whole Bible, but they're accepting what the apostles said as from God. And the Apostle Paul is commending them for that. Now let's take a few passages apart from this, and I want you to turn with me to Matthew 13. We either read here or Luke in the last couple of weeks dealing with the sowing of the seed, but I want to come back to this just for a few moments. Now notice as we come to Matthew chapter 13. Again, what does it mean in the Scripture to receive the Word? It's not just hearing it. It's being doers of the Word. It's embracing it, welcoming the Word of God, and to be obedient to it. And that's the concept that we would see all through the Scriptures. Now notice in Matthew chapter 13, and I want to pick a reading up in verse 3 just for the context. And it says here, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And of course, the sower is Christ, the seed is the word of God, and the different types of ground is the hearts of individuals. And he said in verse 4, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell in good ground, and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Now, the disciples ask him in verse 10 why he is speaking to them in parables. And he tells them, it's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, you that believe, you that are followers, but those who reject it, he said, it's not for them. And he even goes as far as going back and quoting in the book of Isaiah, and he says in verse 15 that the people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, that I should heal them. Then he speaks of their eyes and their ears. Their eyes can see and their ears can hear. Now notice, let's come down beginning in verse 18 and get the interpretation. Now why I'm reading this is because is that when we talk about receiving the word, as I said this morning and already, it's not just to hear it and walk off and forget it or do nothing about it. To receive the word, as in 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 and 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, is to welcome it, to embrace it. In other words, to bring it into yourself, considering it having great value and loving it and obeying it. And so here in this text, to receive the word is to bear fruit. Now let's look at these four types of hearers. He said in verse 18, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So here's one hearer that hears it, does not understand it, does not receive it, does not embrace it. And the devil comes along, and he'll do this every time. He'll come along, and he'll just take that out of the heart. In other words, I've seen it happen many, many times. And you'll just take it from them. Verse 20, here's another type of hearer. And he says here in this passage, he says, "But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon," that means straightway, "and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet," now notice this, "yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by," that means immediately, "he is offended." So here's another type of hearer. And that's the one on the stony places that does not have much earth in verse 5 and does not have deepness of earth. Now another type of hearer. So again, we're seeing like in this passage, somebody hearing. And we are even going to see the word received in the next passage, and still yet we know they did not receive it because they did not embrace it and keep it and love it. Verse 22, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." So there's three of these: hear the word. One here says they receive this word, and still yet there is no fruit that is brought forth. We're talking about now, what does it mean to receive the word, to truly receive the word? In this text, it is to bear fruit. Verse 23, notice this. He said in verse 23, "But he that receives seed into the good ground." Now you know that a good ground is a ground that's been cleared, it's been plowed, it's been cultivated, and it's been prepared. You cannot plant a garden without preparing that. So here's a heart that is prepared to receive the word of God. And he said, verse 23, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it." See, he's different than the first one. "He understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringing forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So again, to receive that, I know this is simple, but it's still profound. In Scripture, to receive the Word of God is to embrace it and love it and cherish it. Now, I want you to notice in Acts chapter 10. And if you're taking notes in Matthew 1, 20 through 25, I believe that Joseph and Mary received the Word of God because they obeyed it. You remember what they was confronted with. You know, Joseph is told that Mary is with child. And, you know, the first thoughts that became running through his head. And as he listened to the angel of God, he believed it. And so Joseph and Mary received the word of God and rejoiced in it. We have her testimony in the book of Luke. We also find the eunuch. In Acts chapter 8, the latter part of that chapter, 26 through 38, the eunuch, as Philip is sent to him, he's reading the book of Isaiah. He's reading in chapter, as we know now, chapter 53. And this man's heart is prepared. He's been to the feast. He's not converted. He needs to be saved. But the Lord is dealing with his heart. And the Lord sent Philip to him. He was ready. The ground was prepared. The heart was ready to receive the things of God. Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And so they began talking about this. And he says to Philip, he said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" No, but this man's heart is ready, is prepared. It's not rejecting, it's not listening and walking away. And of course, Philip said, "If you believe," in other words, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and so forth. And so he said he believed that and he trusted the Lord and he was baptized. So there's another example of someone prepared. Now, there are those, we see many in the scriptures that were not prepared. If you jot down Hebrews 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, you'll find there that there are those in the Old Testament that heard the word of God, but it says that it was not mixed with faith. It had no effect on them because it was not mixed with faith. And if you read all of chapter 3 and all of chapter 4, he says that they heard in unbelief. They did not embrace the word of God. And Psalms 95, verse 7 also speaks of this same time with the children of Israel, and their hearts became hardened. The seed could not be sown in those hearts, like a hard ground, as we've already seen. So there's a lot of examples. Even in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. James chapter 1 and verse 18 through 21, this is just part of it. I'm going to read it all a little bit later. It says that we receive with meekness the engrafted word. That word becomes a part of us. Now, I mentioned this morning that even animals believe the word of God in Noah's day, those that were called and they obeyed. And many men, most men upon the earth at that time, they rejected the word of God. They rejected the preaching of Noah, and they were destroyed. They were damned during that time. But God called certain animals to come into that ark. Now think about another story, Balaam's ass. We find in 2 Peter 2:16, it says it like this. It said the dumb ass forbade the madness of the prophet. And so we had Balaam's ass. His ass was smarter than he was. Again, it said the dumb ass forbade the madness of the prophet. So an animal, again, had more sense and more fear of God than man did. Well, notice here in the book of Acts in chapter 10, I'm going to come down to just one verse. This is the story where Peter has been given a vision. Cornelius has been given a vision, and God sent Peter, the preacher, to Cornelius and his household. And Cornelius, now I want you to notice that his heart is prepared for the word of God. And I'm going to be reading just one passage, and that's going to be in verse 33. In verse 33, I want you to notice that he was ready to hear what God commanded them. Acts chapter 10, verse 33, "Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come." This is Cornelius now. He said, "Now therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Their hearts were ready. They were ready to receive the word of God. And all you got to do is read verses 44 through verse 48, you find them converted. You find them converted here in this passage. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost came upon them. In other words, they received the Holy Ghost. They received the Word of God in verse 47, and then they were baptized after that. So that's what it means to receive the Word of God. Let's carry this a little bit farther. John chapter 10. Notice with me in the book of John and in chapter 10. This is the Lord Jesus here in this passage, and I want you to notice what he says about his sheep. John chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 22 down to about verse 28. Notice as we come here. He says in verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now notice the words of the Lord. He said in verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We see here clearly. He says unto these Jews, you believe not, in verse 26. Why? Because you're not of my sheep. Verse 27, I love this passage. I've actually preached on this passage here. I've preached on it many times in the prisons and the missions, because you've got some good thoughts. You have three things in this passage. He said, first of all, my sheep hear my voice. In other words, they receive the word of God. And he says here, and I know them. And then he says, and they follow me. In other words, they're obedient to his word. Now notice in John chapter 8, hear this just a little bit farther, John chapter 8. We also see that this is what we're talking about tonight, receiving the word, it's just characteristic of God's people. Because even in John 18, you can jot verse 37 down, John 18, verse 37, when the Lord stood before Pilate, and he says, it says here, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Again, we keep coming back to this. True believers, true Christians hear the voice of God and respond to it. They're receiving the word. Now notice what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8. We find here hearing, receiving, and obeying. He says here beginning, I'm in John chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading in verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. For you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Now listen to this verse here, verse 47, great verse. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews, and said to him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily I say unto you, if any man keep my saying, he shall never see death. In other words, he will have eternal life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. In Amos 4:11, the Bible speaks of a famine in the land, a famine of hearing the word of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, when people refuse to heed to the word of God, then that word will be taken away from them eventually. And then there'll be no revelation and no counsel, and so they would be a famine. They couldn't find it if they wanted it. This is why it's so important that we embrace it, we believe it, because also always come a time when a person would not be able to hear it and receive it. We find even in Acts 16 and verse 14, we find there, Is it Lydia, I believe it is, that the Lord opened her heart when the apostles came, and that Macedonian call, and they came into Philippi. And it speaks of the Lord opening hearts, you know. And also in Acts 17, verse 10 and 11, and in that text, the Bereans, it says they received the word with readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily whether those things were so. Think about this. Lydia, I think it was Lydia, am I right? That she her heart was open to the word of God as the apostles preached. Again, they didn't have all the scriptures at the time. And then the Bereans, they received the word with readiness of mind. Then they searched the scriptures that they did have to see if those things were so. All right, now notice in Matthew chapter 7, before we go back to our text in Thessalonians, and we find here, and I'm coming down to verse 24 through 29, the latter part of the chapter, and just notice as I read through these verses, notice the two groups of people, you've heard me say this 1,000+ times, that are in the world. There are those in this text that hear and do God's word, and there are those in this text that hear and they doeth not his word. Now watch as we read this. This is very clear. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This speaks of the foundation that we build upon. And the person that's built upon the rock is like the Thessalonians, one that hears the word and does it, and the foolish person is the one that hears the word and walks away and ignores it, which is a very dangerous thing, because you don't have the rest of your life to make decisions. There can come times when you'll not have the opportunities to hear. They can become, the time can come where God, you know that he has to convict before we can be saved. And there can come a time when he says in Genesis 6, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The Spirit of God strives with us. It strives. It draws on us. It convicts us. And we can become hard toward that, as Pharaoh and others in the Bible, or we can become soft and we can receive that truth. Now let's go back to our text in 1 Thessalonians. And notice in verse 13, again, next week we're going to pick up in verse 14, 15, and 16. And we'll be looking at those three verses together. Verse 13, coming back to this passage, there's another thought in here that I want to bring out to you. And he says here in verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. And notice this, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. This word, effectually, worketh in you, this means that it took effect and performed a work in their hearts, a transforming effect. So, the Thessalonians, they received the word of God. They didn't just hear it and again walk away, but they received it, so it began transforming their lives. Think about that. He said, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So not only are we born again by the Spirit, but we're born again by the Word. Now, when we think about this, this effectually worketh in you, a transforming effect. Why is it that some are changed and others are not? It is an issue of receiving, not just hearing, but it's an issue of receiving. Why are some changed and some are not? If there's no change, we need to take alarm. I told somebody this a week ago. We need to take alarm because it's nobody else's fault. It's our own fault. If we haven't been changed by the Word of God, it's not somebody else's fault. It's not God's fault. It is our own fault because the Word, when it is received, not just heard, when it is received, when it is embraced, and it is loved and obeyed, when it becomes very precious to us, it begins transforming our lives. Now, let me give you a couple of verses on this. You can turn loose of this again and turn with me to Hebrews 13. And just read through Psalms 119 this week and see the transformation of the Word of God. To receive it, to love it, to cherish it, to follow it, to embrace it, to obey it. Psalms 138 in verse 2, he said his word was exalted above his own name. That's how high that God thinks of his word. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13. And by the way, when we look at this, I remember preaching, I don't know how many years ago, a message on pragmatism and wrote an article on it. You say, what in the world is pragmatism? Well, pragmatism is a philosophy of life which determines right and wrong based upon the outcome of a particular situation. In other words, whatever works is good and right in their eyes. Well, do we live by pragmatism or do we live by principles? Principles in the Word of God. Because a lot of things can turn out okay and you think it's right and it can be very wrong. In this life. And that's why the Bible said in Proverbs 16, verse 25, that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Well, we live by principles of the Word of God and not by any other philosophy, especially pragmatism. Well, notice as we come to Hebrews chapter 13. Now, here's the question we got to ask. If the Word of God, when it's received, it effectually works in us. It begins changing us. It begins transforming us. How does that work? Write down about three or four passages I'll give you. Number one, as I just mentioned a moment ago, 1 Peter 1:23, the new birth. We're born again, not only by the Spirit, but by the Word of God. He tells us that, the incorruptible seed. And another way that this works is by growing by the Word. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, and 2 Peter 3:18, to be nourished, to have spiritual life, to nourish that. And we get that nourishment from the Word of God. And the third way is in Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13, is that the heart is convicted by the Word of God. So when the heart is convicted by the Word of God, then that is a process of changing us. We're convicted when we look into the Word. And that's why Romans 12, 2 says we're transformed by the renewing of the mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So to be born again by the Word, to grow by this Word, and to be convicted by it as well. Now notice in Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. He said in verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, here's the verse I want. I read that just for the context, verse 21 now. Make you perfect, notice, in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God working in us, doing a work inside of us, changing us, not only by His Spirit, but by His Word. There's a transformation. There's a daily transformation that takes place there. Notice again in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. He says, "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of His creatures." He said in verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." Notice, "and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." In verse 18, "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth." In verse 21, the latter part of it, "receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." To graft is to become a part. You know, grafting things as far as in nature and whatever, it's to become a part of something. And so the Word of God becomes a part of us. And notice as we read on, He continues to speak of this. He said in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now think about that. If we're a hearer and not a doer, we have actually deceived ourselves. And He said in verse 23, "For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," again, that's the Word of God, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." He shall be happy in his deed. Philippians chapter 2. And we'll just close here in this text. Philippians chapter 2. Just a few other verses. Romans 1:17, you're very familiar with it. "Faith cometh by what? Hearing." Talking about hearing and receiving. "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word." Revelation 2:7, I think we read that this morning. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches." Revelation 2:17, we did read that this morning. Because I purposely started with the first verse of Revelation and then closed with the last verse of Revelation. But in verse 17, the invitation said, "Let him that heareth come." And Revelation 3:20, I made reference to this also. "If any man hear my voice and open the door." So in the Bible, to hear God's word is to receive it, to be a hearer and a doer of the word. That is to embrace it. And we'll close here in the book of Philippians. And I'm in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2. And I'm reading in verse 13. He says here, "For it is God," here's this effectual working, "for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." So it's God that worketh in us. And when we embrace and when we receive the Word of God, then that Word will perform a work inside of us. And it will change us and it will continue to transform us and conform us to God's will and to God's way. Let us stand, please. Heavenly Father, again, we thank Thee for this evening, this morning You've given us. We thank You for the privilege to come together, to sing and to fellowship and to pray, and Lord, and also to look into Thy Word. And we pray, Lord, that what we have spoken would be truth, and we all receive it, that we would embrace it, and that it would become a reality in each of our lives, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.